Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
So today we just want to plow into the purpose. What is the purpose? We're going to be finding the rest of the Sabbath. And yes, there is a rest in the Sabbath, and here's the rest of the Sabbath as we think about what he wants to say to us. So if you got your Bible there in Exodus 20, I want to just go through this quickly, and then we're going to take a jaunt back a little bit earlier in the scriptures to look at another passage. But he says simply this: remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We'll talk about that word holy in just a bit, what it means. It means sacred, special, one of a kind, different, separate. And then he says this: 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. No work, rest. 6 days work, 1 day of rest. And here's where we get to the purpose, verse 11. And God spells out the connection to an earlier reality from Scripture. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, or made it holy. It connects in its purpose back to the creation of God and that first account of God making everything. So that's where we have to start. Now, we understand, we need to think about, well, what's that mean for those 6 days of work? What's that mean about that day? What do we do? Again, we got to get to the purpose before we get to the practice. And I think you're going to see very clearly, it's very simple, but extremely profound to us, why God wants us to order our lives, schedule, pattern, rhythm, in a way that encompasses our relationship with Him, and to just be enthralled with Him as the first reality in our lives. I also know that that's something even we as followers of Christ followers, we struggle with this, because we are busy. We're like that song that Rich just sang a moment ago. We're going 90 miles an hour, we got all this sort of thing, and God just wants us to suddenly just breathe, rest. And sometimes finding those moments to take that breath are few and far between. So he says in verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Based upon that, therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So turn, if you will, back to Genesis chapter 2. Let's just see that account in the original and see how this thing of the Sabbath really comes about and what we can learn from it. Determine the purpose involved. Now, chapter 1 of Genesis is one that, if you're a student of the Scriptures, you know something about. It just simply declares, the language of the text of Scripture says that God took 6 days and made everything that there was to be made. It tells us the order in which he made them. I also understand there are those people who say, well, a day really can't mean a day, because we have to somehow find all this ages and epochs of time and so forth that we suppose are inserted into the record of the human experience in the earth on which we live and the universe in which we live. But think about it. If you're a believer in the Lord, and I'm assuming most of us are, regardless of what you've been taught, what you think, whatever, I think you would agree with me. If God is omnipotent, he has all power. If God has all knowledge, God has all wisdom, God is God. We're going to talk about that tonight. I'll give you another preview. If God is God, could he not do it in 6 days rather than a few billion? In fact, in earlier days of church history, there were those scholars who said these couldn't be 6 literal days. Why? Because God wouldn't have taken 6 days and made everything. He just get all done in one just act and everything's complete. So he dispels it out in this order of 6 days. And then it tells us in chapter 2, verse 1, thus the heavens and all the host and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So there you have the account in Genesis of what happened and what God did. Over in Exodus 20, we have this command. Now we need to follow this pattern, because therefore God did this in this pattern. and we need to be in sync with his pattern. Sometimes I feel sorry for the fourth commandment. Of all the Ten Commandments, it's probably the forgotten commandment. In fact, I almost was going to name this series the forgotten commandment, because it's one that we just said, yep, it's on the books, turn the page. But it's of importance to us on some level, and that's what we want to spend these weeks together looking at. Now, there's basically three verbs that you see in this text here in Genesis 2, three actions that God takes. And in those actions, we learn a lot about what is going on and what we are to learn from it. The first action you see is in verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. The work comes to a halt. He's done all these things. He's made all this, all the creation, and you can go back and read that if you want to in chapter 1. It is indeed a good read. So he says, after all that's done, he stops. He completes his work. Now, that does not mean that God is somehow worn out. He's not without strength and energy, but he's complete. It is done. It is finished. There's something about that completion, and you kind of get this sense as you read this passage, that God is just turning around and looking at what he's made and says, I like what I see. In fact, if you go back to verse 31 of chapter 1, it says this, then God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God says, this is the way it should be. This is the way I want it. It's finished and complete. Do you ever do that when you finish a job? You know, I hate to admit this, but I finished mowing the lawn the other day, and I just kind of sat down on my porch, and I just looked at my grass for 2 or 3 minutes. It looks better than it did. I like that. I like that it's a little bit neat, and you know, and then you find it, say, oh, I missed a weed over there, or whatever. But anyway, you know, just that sense of it's finished, it's complete. You kind of have that satisfaction. God just draws satisfaction, joy, because everything was as it should be. Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden. The stars and the planets and the sun and the moon are doing their thing, and all the animals are doing their thing, and the sea and in the flying through the air and all the plant life, and everything is just as it is. There's that satisfaction, completion. The thing is, on the seventh day, there was no more need to be creative activity because all the creative activity was done. And he stops, he finds that. He's saying that indeed he created, that everything is in place. Now, if you have your Bible, look again at another verse in chapter 1, just to kind of get a little flavor of this. You go back to verse 14, it describes day 4 in the next few verses. Day four in verse 14. There, I said it right. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, and to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, seasons, and for days and years. That's an important little list there. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens, and to give light on the earth, and it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He bade the stars also. So that's the sun and the moon. So this is viewed from a very much our perspective, an earth perspective. Don't you just love the fact it says, oh, by the way, he made the stars also. I mean, how much does that cover in just one statement? But this is all designed to be for signs, seasons, for days and years. The creation built in is a giant timepiece. And you and I keep time. Whether you look at your phone or you look at your wristwatch or the clock on the wall or that digital clock that I have to stare at every Sunday morning, whatever it is, we are keeping time. There is a reason that a day is 24 hours long. Why? It's part of what he built in. That's the length of time it takes for this earth to turn one complete revolution, one rotation on its axis. That's the reason it is. It's built in. He designed it for signs, seasons, days, and years. There is a reason that the year is 365 days long, basically. It's slightly longer than that. That's the reason we throw a leap day in every 4 years. But that's the length of time, basically, that it takes for the Earth to go around the sun in one orbit. There's a reason that most months are about 30 days, basically. Okay, I know there's February, some 31, some 30. But that is at least comparable or analogous to the time it takes for the moon to go around the earth in one orbit, basically. So, signs, seasons, days, and years, determined by what God built in creation, the year, the month, the day. But if you pick up your calendar, I brought one with me. This is my calendar. Let me get over to September where we happen to be. This was provided to me by the state of West Virginia, by the Department of Culture and History. Thank you very much for this calendar. And if you look at September, or you look at any calendar, you see on there that, well, this month's going to have 30 days. I sort of understand why that is. I understand why this is 1/12 of a year. We have 12 months. But I also notice up here in the very top, there's 7 blocks to make a week. Every week is 7 days. Every 7 days is a week. I know the Beatles wrote about 8 days a week, but they got that wrong, okay? I understand that. All right, 7 days. Why is a week 7 days? There's nothing in the sun, the moon, the stars, its rotation, nothing in the big timepiece that he mentions in chapter 1 that makes a week 7 days. Why do we have we're a long way from creation. We've adjusted our calendar many times to try to get it to sync with what's really going on in the time, seasons, days, and years. But why is it 7 days? Why is it almost universally 7 days? In fact, there's been cultures and countries that have tried to change it from a 7 day to a 5 day or a 10 day, which seems probably make a little more sense maybe in our logic. But invariably, we sort of just kind of sink back into 7 days. Well, the only thing I can gather is the first week was 7 days long, and it just continues to repeat in a pattern that is unbroken to now. And God designed it that way so that there is no movement of the sun or the moon or our rotation or that sort of thing that syncs with it. The only thing that our weeks sync with is God as the creator. So the next time you're writing something on your calendar, you pull out your phone or you get your computer, however you keep time, however you keep your appointments, however you keep your stuff, and you see that those blocks of 7 days across your page or across your screen, that's your sign to say, God finished his work of creation. And then you add one more thing to it. I'm also part of his creation. I have been created by God himself. I am a product of his creative ability. Everything about me is what he has invested in me. So he wants us to be reminded that as we think about this completion, that he is creator. If I could just embed that word into you, you're going to understand so much about the purpose of the Sabbath pattern and how we come in sync with it. We need to be reminded regularly, and it's built into the fabric of our time, fabric of our rhythm of life, to say, I created you. 6 days of work, day of rest, that mimics what God did. Created 6 days, took a day of rest because he was satisfied. He was complete. So, creation. Now, the next thing it says, go to chapter 2 again. The next verb he says here is simply this. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. So he rested. He stopped working. Now, he had a reason to stop working. For you and I, we understand that a rhythm of rest, a rhythm of finding rest and as we need to go through life is needful, or we're not going to be healthy. We're going to fall apart. We have to stop. We have to rest because we get tired. We get weary. We get fatigued. Our minds get overloaded. We need a break from all that. We need to just stop and breathe every once in a while. So he knew that. He built that in. But God wasn't stopping because he was tired. In fact, in Isaiah 40:28, a verse that you probably know, where the writer says this, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints or is weary. His understanding is unsearchable." He's not tired. He's not worn out. He doesn't need to rest because he needs to recover and renew and refresh and reset. He stops because he's done and complete and satisfied with his work. Now, you and I have a different need because we have the physicality of living in this universe. We need to rest. We need to sleep. We need to stop. We need to give our minds and our bodies a pause. And then we also need to give our souls a pause as well and be refreshed in the fact that God has everything under control. This is not some colossal accident spinning through space that we call our life. We are the creation of God. We bear his image. In fact, even the most evil person on the planet bears something of the image of God. Obviously, their morality and their actions aren't reflecting the glory of God, but we are a unique, special, one-of-a-kind creation, that we can respond to God, that we have moral choice of to love Him or to disobey Him, and we as a race and we as individuals have not done well with that choice. But nonetheless, how can we find rest and pause in the rhythms of life? Just remembering that God made it all, and His work was complete, and we can find our strength, our renewal, our reset in Him. If we will take the time, and if we will order our lives in a pattern that in somehow syncs with the pattern that He's built into the seven-day week, okay? So creation, that satisfaction, that understanding. And if that means we need to adjust our schedules more than we have to be in sync with God's purposes, to sync with His seven-day pattern, then we need to be willing to do that because He is the Creator, He knows best, He is God of all, and we are responsible to Him. So we're going to get into some practical things later on in our study to just to kind of help us kind of evaluate and do some diagnostics and to see what we need to change, and I encourage you to come along with that. But the purpose is connected to creation. And there's one more if you go right on down the page. The action is that he first of all, He completed everything. Then He rested. And then notice what it says, verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all of His work which God had created and made. There you see creation again. The maker, the origin person, the one who dreamed it all up and the one who put it all together and spoke it out of nothing. He is the Creator. So He separates this day. And basically the word that you see there, He blessed it. And in the how did He bless it? He made this day different. The basic idea of sanctification is to be in a different category. The root word is the same idea as the word holy. In fact, this is the first holy statement that you see in Scripture. God blessed this day that He's talking about to be different, special, one of a kind, category by itself, to be separate. But not only is it the day to be separate, it's not just separation, it's also elevation. It's not just we stop our work and we do different things or we do less things. It's we stop our work and we have this elevation to remember that I am a creation of God. God is the Creator. I am responsible to Him. He is not the vending machine that's responsible to me and drop goodies out when I, you know, push the right buttons and get Him to react. I am morally responsible to Him. That's the reason we come to this conclusion, and Scripture declares that we indeed need a Savior because of His holiness and our need to connect to that, and we fall short of that. So He elevates this day. This day is to be different. So the original concept is simply this, that God takes us to this point where indeed, this is how I did it the first day, first week, I want you to have a day that is different, separate. Different from the other days, but also a day that is blessed that elevates this conception between us. Now, I know one of the questions we also ask, and we'll deal with this too, so I'm asking for a lot of patience, okay? If I gave you everything today, we'd be here for a couple hours, okay? So just be patient. But one of the questions is, the Sabbath is on Saturday. The Jewish Sabbath was from sundown Friday to sundown on Saturday, so basically Saturday, okay? We're here on the first day of the week on a Sunday. How is it that, is this the Sabbath? Is that the Sabbath? Does this become the new Sabbath? Do we do away with the old Sabbath? We'll get to it. But the fact is, we are here on a Sunday, and you can see this strewn throughout the Scriptures. Acts 20, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16, 2. There's other places where we see early in the church, from the early first century, the church was meeting and worshiping on the first day of the week as opposed to the seventh day, okay? We'll get into some of that later, but we celebrate the first day of the week, and one of the reasons we celebrate the first day of the week, and you see this in Scripture, and we'll look at this verse later, is simply that was the day that Jesus was resurrected. Now think with me. If these three activities are kind of the ending activities of God, okay? He did all this flurry of activities for 6 days, and on the seventh day, everything was completed. He rested, ceased from His labors. He blessed this day by making it different, sanctifying it, making it holy. That was His work. Question, What is the next work you see God do in the chronology of the Bible? Well, you don't have to go far. It's in chapter 3. Adam and Eve fall into sin. They're struck with their shame. They're humiliated before God. They need God to do something. And in chapter 3, verse 21 says this, "And for Adam and Eve, the Lord God made coverings of skin and clothed them." The next thing God did, and think about it, some animal died, and its skin was used to cover their shame. That is a very small picture, but a very profound picture of God's next great work. The work of creation was complete. Because of man's sin, God starts the great work of redemption to save us from our sins. The promise of a Savior is seen right here in front of us in chapter 3, where he talks about the serpent's head is going to be crushed and the seed of woman is going to have a bruised heel and all that sort of thing. And we've talked about that in recent days. But that's the first prophecy of the Bible. The next action of the Bible that God does is he sets out into this process of redeeming us, delivering us from our sin, bringing us back into fellowship with him. Now, the reality is every one of us in this room can connect to the creation of God. You may say, "I don't believe that God is the creator. I don't believe in God. I don't even believe he exists." Doesn't matter if you believe it or not, but the truth of the matter is God is God and he created and you're part of it. You can reject it if you want, but that's what the Bible declares, and honestly, that is reality. But not everybody in this room, I hope it is true, I hope I'm wrong, but it's at least possible that everybody here is a product of God's creation, but not everybody here has experienced God's redemption. Because that does require something on our part. Not works, not to please God. God did the work for us. The sacrifice was made. They were covered. Christ died. His blood covers. But what we need to do is to believe that. To say, that is for me. That is what I connect to. That's what I cling to. That's my hope for heaven. That's what I believe is real. That plus nothing, that minus nothing, that only that, that Jesus is the Savior, and through his death on the cross, I have covering for my sin. If we reject that and disbelieve it, it does not become at all effective for us. So here's the great joy for us as New Testament believers. The Sabbath was given to remind us of our creation. So every time you look at your calendar and you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, there's your reminder of creation. And to remind ourselves that we are the product of God's hand, that he loved us, that he will pursue us with goodness and mercy, and then dwell in the house of the Lord forever if we believe in him. But also, if you go over here to the first day of the week, that's the reminder of our redemption, the picture of redemption. Those are the two things he wants us to do. God has established a pattern of work and rest by his creative actions, and he continues that work by his actions to redeem us. The Sabbath recognizes the holiness and sacredness of that pattern. The pattern is woven into the fabric of our lives. So here's what you and I need to recognize this day and in the course of our days going forward. I am created by God and I live within the sphere of his creation and I thank him and praise him and honor him as such. I either thank him and praise him and live in accordance with the redemption that I have in him, or if not, you need to believe in him to have that redemption for yourself. And if you've never trusted him as your Savior and you need someone to talk to you about that issue, anyone in this room would be glad to talk to you. But us as pastors, we would love to talk to you. Pastor Tim will be here at the front at the end of this service, and I'll be at the back. But if you need to talk to someone what that means, to define that more clearly, to show you from the scriptures, answer your questions, we'd love to have that conversation with you. But for believer, this is what we need to do. Now, I'm going to give you just three quick words, all right? And here's the attitudes and here's the openness that we want to have. Number one, we need to have understanding. We need to have some understanding of this pattern, some awareness. Let's use the word awareness. And I want to encourage you, if I could plug this in, if I could set an alarm on your phone to go off, I'd come back and program your phone if I knew how to do that. That every time your calendar popped up and you see a week in front of you, a little thing would go, ding, you're created by God. Every seventh day, there's the tone, goes off. Bing! God is the Creator. God is God. He is the Lord of all, King of kings. And every first day of the week, and you see it there in your calendar, you come to church, you do what you do on Sundays, it's your reminder, I've redeemed you with my own blood. To be aware of that. And maybe you've never thought of that before. The 7 days that we live every week, God plugged this in. God pushed this in, and He pushes us out, that we would have an awareness of these two fundamental realities, that we are the creation of God, and we have been redeemed by God Himself if we believed in Jesus. Secondly, let's think about this pattern that we want to bring up. That, yeah, praise, thank you. That we would praise Him and give thanks. When that awareness hits us, we don't say, oh, I got that. It's like a trivia question. I can answer that question correctly. No. This should react in our hearts. Lord, thank you for my life. When you wake up in the morning of a new day, thank you, Lord, that I still have something to do. You're not done with me yet, or I wouldn't be here. You're in this day. You're going to go through this day with me. You never leave us. You're not going to forsake me. Whatever I'm dealing with, whether it's good, bad, or the big expanse of indifferent, praise Him and thank Him. And you can do that right now. We've already done that right now. But lastly, let's think about in our actions. Bring up the next word, if you will. Sometimes that means we need to do some adding and subtracting. Now, this is where it might get a little squirmy. And it's going to get a little squirmy over the next 3 weeks. But don't you stay home because I said it's going to be squirmy, okay? You don't do that. Don't chicken out on me, all right? Because if you want to add some things into your schedule, you're probably going to have to subtract some things from your schedule. And God created a pattern for us to say, 6 days, labor, do all your work, but find a time that you treat as holy and blessed that's separate from the other days of the week. And I understand, not every one of us is on a pattern where you work Monday through Friday and you're off on Saturday and Sunday. If you are, there's those 2 days, creation, redemption, set aside for you. But I know some people work rotating schedules. Sometimes you work weekends. I understand that. And it's not, I don't think, remember, Jesus said this, the Sabbath wasn't made for, it was made for us, in other words. We weren't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for us, for our benefit. But to be willing, and here's all I want you to do. I want you to ask and lay this before the Lord. Lord, as I study your word, as I consider my life, am I willing to do some subtraction and some addition into my life that I can allow time to honor you as the Creator and the Redeemer? If you want some practice of that, I want to encourage you to read two chapters today, Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation 5, and there's two little worship scenes in there. It's around the throne of God, yet future. In chapter 4, they're worshiping for the God who is the Creator. In chapter 5, there's the worship around the throne that Jesus is the Redeemer. He's redeemed us with His own blood. And those twin themes should indeed be that which we're aware of, that which cause praise from us, and should be willing to say, I'm willing to add and subtract. And Lord, I simply ask you, show me what needs to be shoved aside so I can have more time with you. How do I need to rearrange? How I can order to make sure that I spend some time in a different mode, a blessed mode, a sacred mode, that I spend time with you. Yes, I need to rest a body. That's good for our minds, it's good for our souls, it's good for our physical reality. But also on a spiritual level, we need some time to rest and to rest in Him. It's not just the cessation of our efforts, but it's time to do that in the reality that we are aware and we praise and we're willing to make adjustments. Because the great I Am said, in 6 days He did all of His work and He rested the seventh.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.